We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
That you just, it just warms your heart, doesn't it? Something about it. And so I'm excited. The month of November, we call it the month of Thanksgiving, and we talk about being thankful that whole month, and I'm excited about that. October is going to be a fun time together, and I'll get a little bit more into that in a minute. But we're concluding today a series that we've been calling Fog, right? Based on Ecclesiastes, based on the Bible verse that says that Solomon, the really wise man, he said, meaningless, meaningless, vanity, all is meaningless. He said, it's all a vapor, the word hevel we used. It's all a fog, it's all a smoke. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. What you need to focus on is that you fear God, as our brother said, and realize that we are here for a time and focus on what is permanent, not what is temporary. And whether you are here or not, and I encourage you to go back and listen to any of those that you missed. It's not a teaching you hear very often. Not that it's like a very systematic teaching. It's just some different highlights from the book of Ecclesiastes. But I encourage you to go back and listen. Even if you're not the type of person that does that kind of thing, go back, either watch it on YouTube or listen. But whether you are here or not, we can all rally behind the focus of this chapter of the book. The challenge was this: that we need to get rid of our baggage, we need to get our priorities straight, and we need to die to ourselves, because what we have is going to blow away. It's going to burn away. There's nothing going to be left. So we have to die to ourselves. And you would say, well, I don't want to rally behind that. I want to live for myself. I want to do what I want to do. Yes, I know we all do. But Jesus said that we must pick up his cross and follow him. I promise you, when you do this, you will find rest. You will find fulfillment. You will find satisfaction, you will find joy, and you will find what you're looking for, because we all have a little place in our hearts or in our spirit or in our soul, wherever that is, that's wanting more. And you say, where do I find that more? Can I find it here? Can I find it there? You'll never find it. You know that. How many know that, right? You'll never find it anywhere else but until we fix our eyes on Jesus. Everybody smile today. It's good to smile. It tells our spirits, you know, David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He was going through it. He was going through it. And he had to tell himself to bless the Lord, because his self said, I don't feel like it. But even when I don't feel like it, God's working. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the challenge from the book was get rid of bags, die to flesh, change your perspective, and see the bigger picture. I mentioned at the beginning of it that at the end of the series, we were going to conclude it with a fast. And everyone cheered in the room, because everyone loves to die to their hevel. Everyone loves to die to their flesh. Everyone, it's fun. No, it's not. And most people, when you say, oh, I want to challenge you to fast, they would say, no, thank you. Why don't you fast? You're the pastor. Let Bethany, she's the worship leader. You fast, Bethany. Could you fast for all of us? Handle that for us, right? And then you add onto that prayer. You're like, oh, my goodness, what are you trying to do? Shrink your church? Maybe. Maybe that's a good idea to weed out. Oh, let me stop right there. Weed out who is serious about Jesus or not, right? You're like, well, if that's the requirement for being serious about Jesus, I'll just check out right now. I'm going to challenge you to fast. I said it at the beginning of the series, and I'm gonna lay it out for you, and it'll probably be something, hopefully by the end of today, that you're going to say, I'd be interested. I'm remotely interested, maybe. Not many of you are going to say, yes, sign me up. It's exciting. It's not an exciting thing unless you understand what happens about when you fast. Because about a year ago, we did a fast. It was a 6-day, 7-day fast right after a series we called Accelerate. And those that participated in some way or shape or form, you found that probably it was very powerful. Found that you had some things, some direction on things that you didn't have before. The way we're going to do it this year is that this is the end of September, right? At the beginning of October, we're going to do this fast. But through the month of October, we're calling it Fall Sunday Nights, October Sunday Nights. It is the most complimented event that we do as a church every year, except that we haven't gotten to do it since like 2019. Because last year we were getting ready to, and then it got a little bit crazy again. I was like, oh my goodness, right? So now we're finally getting to do it. And what we do is Sunday nights, October 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd, we're going to come together. And it's not for like half the church. It's not for a quarter of the church. It's for all of us. It's not for, oh, these are the Sunday night people. We don't even have Sunday night service, so who would those be? It's for the Sunday morning people. We come together. You actually meet people that you didn't meet before, because Sunday mornings, a lot of times, we come in and we leave. So fellowship is really important. That's part of the reason we do it. Come together. We eat together. We have free dinner. And it's not a potluck. Maybe you love potlucks. I'm okay with potlucks, but I don't love them, you know. So it's going to be taken care of for you. You don't bring anything. You come, you bring your family, a nice dinner. Juanita's going to be cooking one of them. Cena's going to be doing the Italian dinner. The third one, I don't remember what that's going to be. Then the last one, we're going to have a chili cook-off. And every year we have done that, where probably 10 or 15 of you, 20 of you, submit your chili to, it doesn't sound very spiritual what I'm saying, but it is, all right? Food, the table. If you've been to Cena's Bible study, you know these are all important things. We're going to bring them together. You're going to get to try every chili the last Sunday of October that night, and vote on who your favorite is. And it's pretty competitive, and they're the best chilies I've ever had. We'll do that. We'll have caramel apple station where you can make your own caramel apple. We'll have pumpkins for all the kids. It's going to be a great time. We're going to play bingo. It'll be a lot of fun. But the first three evenings of October Sunday nights, we'll have breakouts for adults, three different ones you can go to. Pastor Christian, Pastor Thomas are doing one. Ray and Jody are going to be leading one. And Pastor Pamela is going to be leading one. It's going to be an awesome time. And then all of the kids, and even if you have nephews or people and grandkids, sign them up back there at that table. We're having a vacation Bible school for the kids. We're pulling out the stops. It's going to be a great time together. They're going to have so much fun. They're going to learn so much about Jesus. It'll be in this room for the kids. The adults will be other places. And it'll be a great time. So make sure to be here. You're like, okay, I got you. October 2nd, 9th, 3rd, 16th, and 23rd. But the first one, we're going to have dinner. And then after dinner, we're going to challenge you to fast from that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe even to Saturday if you can make it. We'll be encouraging you throughout the week. It's going to be a time, and we hope you'll be a part of it. And I'll encourage you a little bit more here. But what's really cool about it is that it coincides kind of coincidentally last year, too, with two Jewish holidays, right? Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow, and it is essentially a Jewish holiday to give up sin. Like at the end of it, they sacrifice all the sin from the year, right? It's a time to die to ourself. So it'll be perfect. That's Rosh Hashanah, and it culminates with the fast on Yom Kippur, and it'll be right during our fast as a church. So I think that'll be a a really neat time together. I think you'll enjoy it, actually, if you do it. Because I encourage you that when you die to self, God brings, and you don't do it for this reason, but God will bring blessing to your family. He'll bring blessing to your spiritual life. Probably some of you need to get some cobwebs out from the summer. He'll bring blessing to your job. It sounds like maybe you're preaching something you shouldn't hear, but he'll bring blessing to your finances even. When you die to self, he does this. He'll bring blessing to your health. Do this. Try it. And you'll see good things come your way. Would you bow your heads with me once again as we get ready to look at the Word? Lord, we thank you for this Bible. We thank you for the words inside it aren't for yesterday. They were for yesterday, but they're also for today. And they last forever. And I pray that you would speak to each person today. I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name. Kickoff to fall is, fall is a season of dying anyways. I was just thinking of that when I was praying. Fall is a season of dying in preparation for new life, right? I was telling my son, you know, the leaves fall, right? And when they die, when seeds die, I don't know if the leaves do this, but I know that corn does this because my yard just started to grow some corn. I don't know where the heck it came from. Started growing up. And it's because some seed died there and new life comes. And it kind of messes up the illustration because it's growing now. It's supposed to grow in spring, I think, or maybe not. But if you would like some corn, we're going to be having just one corn at our house around November. It's going to be, we're going to celebrate the harvest together with our piece of corn. My parents are even coming back for it, aren't you, for Thanksgiving? We'll all eat our corn together. It'll be so perfect. We'll be like, this is delicious, our piece of corn in our yard. And if you want to come by and just see it and take a picture with it, maybe you have corn. Brendan, you probably grow corn at your house, huh? You should see his backyard. Brendan does a really good job. Brendan and Megan do with theirs. I don't know about Pastor Thomas and Christian. Maybe you shouldn't look at their garden. I don't know how it's doing. Not too good. Spiritually, their garden is overflowing and flourishing. She's prophesying across the aisle to you. Even your new grass that you started is just begun. God will complete it. Like he's going to do mine too, because I grew grass too, yes. I'm a little bit, had a couple too many coffees today. You enjoying the coffee? I want to explain to you that it's not a money maker for us. It's a way to help kids get to camp. So anything you give is an offering. So if you want to buy coffee, you just put on there on your offering slip or on the app, you just select coffee ministry, just like you would select missions for something else. Right now, we're giving to missions. Pakistan, we're giving. There's a big flood there that happened. It's terrible. And Foursquare Disaster Relief is there. They're giving them food and water and shelter. So anything that goes towards missions this month is going to Pakistan. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier. Write this down in your mind, in your head, on your phone, in your heart, in your soul. This. Understand, you cannot get away from this truth right here. What we do in the physical affects the spiritual. And I'm going to walk across the room to get your attention, but I'm also trying to see the clock because I just can't see it. Can't see it. What we do in the physical affects the spiritual. You can't get away from that fact. You might think that's a bunch of, I've never said this word, but you think I'm going to say a cuss word. Malarkey. That's a bunch of malarkey. It's not. There's a scripture, Exodus 17. Of course, you know it, right? Could you quote it for us? Yeah. Exodus 17. Moses was getting attacked, and every time his friends would lift up his hands, they would be winning. Every time they would put down his hands, they would be losing. And it was a physical act that God had said, lift your hands and you'll win this battle. Put them down, you won't. And he got tired of lifting his hands. So people had to physically hold his hands up. And as he did this spiritual act, they won a physical battle. And I would say to all of us today, that's kind of a picture of what God wants to do in all of our lives. No matter how you cut it, no matter how you think it, heavenly intervention, angels, millions of angels, biblical, this is biblical, millions of angels are deployed on your behalf, not just on my behalf, on yours, Kaylee, as you want. I'm just kidding with you. Every one of us, when we pray, when we do just a physical act of, Lord, would you be there? Millions of angels are deployed on our behalf, and we begin to wreak havoc in the spiritual realm. Lisa understands this, right? You wreak havoc in the spiritual realm when you do something physical like pray, like raise your holy hands, like worship Jesus, like sing a song like we were singing earlier. Even when I don't see you working, you're working. And when you say that, something happens in the spiritual realm. It does. It just does. Fasting brings supernatural results. Fasting is a physical thing, but brings spiritual results. You don't have to understand it to see results. You don't even have to feel it. Oh, I feel like fasting. Oh, I feel like giving up my social media and my food and my chocolate and my this and my soda and my coffee. I just feel like doing it. No, you don't even have to feel like it for it to be effective. Feelings are overrated. It got me standing up. I was trying to sit today and just teach. But feelings are overrated. Can I tell you, everybody, agree or not agree? I want to see what you think. Americans, thank you. Americans value feelings so much. Now, feelings are given from God. And sometimes we need our feelings. Sometimes they're a blessing, but sometimes they're not a blessing. Sometimes they're a hindrance to what God wants to do with us. Wait, you mean that sometimes I won't feel, God will ask me to do something I don't feel like doing? I don't feel like going to church today. I don't give a care if you feel like going to church today. Your feelings aren't important sometimes. Your feelings are very important other times. We love to value feelings. Let's indulge your feelings. Oh, you're depressed. And sometimes it's important to just stay in that feeling for a minute. But then other times, it's not. You need to be slapped across the face and say, snap out of it. Feelings aren't that important. Sometimes what's more important than your feelings are your actions. My sister, she understands that. Actions. It's sometimes about your action. Well, I don't enjoy praying. I don't even feel good about it. I don't like to fast. But when you do it, it's an action, and something happens because what you do in the physical affects the spiritual. It really, really does. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Is my brother Jeff in the room? He's probably out cleaning something. His one of his favorite scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people feel like it, but don't do it, I'll still hear them, and I'll still do what they say. No, he says, if my people take action, if my people humble themselves for crying out loud, if my people pray, if my people turn from their wicked ways, if my people, it doesn't say anything about feeling. It's all about action, right? If my people do this, then, oh, I'm hearing something from the earth, from those flaky, I'm trying to think of a word for people that don't fast. prayerless people. I'm hearing, all of a sudden, I'm starting to hear them because they stopped worshiping their feelings and started worshiping me. If my people humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's a scripture that we'd rather just hear part of it. Heal our land, Lord. Hear us. Heal our land. It's a mess. And he's like, pray. Don't just cry about it. Don't just complain about it. Don't just criticize. All right, that was actually not the Second Chronicles I was wanting to say. Second Chronicles chapter 20 is what I was going to say. I'm just going to bring up 3 or 4 verses from this. It won't be boring, I promise you, even though it's Second Chronicles. My brother Peter said, Second Chronicles, you're going there today? I'm like, yeah, I guess. Yep, I am. All right, Second Chronicles chapter 20, first verse. We're going to stop there. After this, the Moabites, Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. That's a good name that nobody uses anymore, Jehoshaphat. And you're going to hear today a good reason maybe you should name your kids after him. Anyone in the room, I don't know, anyone that might need a name, but he's a good guy. They were getting ready to wage war against Jehoshaphat. I want to ask you today, is something waging war against you? Maybe you don't even look at it as a war. But the physical and the spiritual kind of do this. When you're in tune, when you're a child of God, the spiritual and the physical, they kind of intermingle. And something that you thought was depression from another reason is maybe a war against you. Something that you thought was a health issue might be a war against you. It might be an Ammonite. It might be a bad habitite. It might be a depressionite. It might be a stressite. It might be whatever. They're waging war against us. And you would say, well, I'm not going to acknowledge that. Great, don't acknowledge it. But if you feel like you're under attack, it would be normal because the enemy doesn't like you, especially when you serve Jesus or even when you consider serving Jesus. He doesn't care for that. And so it says that Jehoshaphat was getting ready to engage in a war. Alarmed, verse 3, Jehoshaphat, a great name, resolved to inquire of his friends on Facebook. And he started looking, what do they say about this? Because I can't get rid of this habit. It's almost like a stronghold for me. I can't, every Tuesday it comes back. Or I can't get rid of this feeling. Or I can't, my relationship. Or my marriage. Or I just can't seem to be generous. I am not a generous person. I would rather keep it for myself. I can't do this. And so what do you think? Well, what do you think? Well, I don't like what Pastor Christian said. She said what the Bible said. Here, I'm going to call my friend. They don't go to church. What do you think I should do? No, Jehoshaphat didn't go to his cell phone. He went to the Lord. It says he inquired of the Lord. And God said, proclaim a fast. So he proclaimed a fast over all of Judah. I don't know what the people thought of it, but I want to ask you, are you seeking an answer for something? Looking for a direction on something? You're getting ready to go into a new season. You want to shift gears. You want things to go better for you, right? Maybe you're desiring to be filled with more of God's Spirit, more of His power. That's always my desire. I always desire to be filled with more of His Spirit because often I get bogged down by more of me. Have you ever had too much Veronica and not enough Holy Spirit, right? You're a teacher, right? When a kid comes in the room and says, Miss Harvey, I don't like this. This kid pushed me. This kid punched me. This kid cussed at me. They start cussing at you. They start throwing things. There's more Veronica than there is Holy Spirit sometimes, right? And you're like, I need more of you, Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you. when you're looking for more, when you're seeking answers, when you need direction, maybe you need to be alarmed and resolved to inquire of the Lord. And maybe the Lord will tell you to fast and pray. Or maybe you'll ignore him and he'll tell your pastor instead to encourage you to fast and pray. That's what he's doing here. Do like Jehoshaphat. And let me just be very practical with you. There are many kinds of fasts. You don't have to be scared. Jesus gave us the example of 40 days in the desert with nothing, no water, no food for 40 days. I think your body technically can last for 3 days without water. So I would encourage you, don't do the 40 days. We're doing 6 days as a church. Don't even do 6 days without water unless you are really spiritual and you want to brag about it later. But maybe don't do no food and water, but you could do no food and just water. That's what I'm going to try to do. I don't do that very often. I don't enjoy it at all. I really don't. I have friends that do 40 days of just water. I have friends that have done 60 days, 90 days. Even my brother, who's like not exactly my perfect example for spiritual, but he's done that often, 40 days of just water. I'm like, you're crazy. I mean, it's good, but I'm going to do 6 days. And when I do it, I don't drink anything else. Like, I tried it with, like, smoothies, because it's just water, right? And, like, shakes from Arby's and cappuccinos and coffee. And it actually made it harder for me. If I just drink water, like, day three or so, I feel better. And then it's like, oh, this is good. I can handle this. But if you're drinking sugary things, it starts making you want something you can't have. So just a side note. And another side note to the side note. Can I give you this? People think fasting is bad for your body. Doctors say, oh, yeah, Lisa's like, no, it's not. You could probably tell it better. But doctors say it's good to reset your body every now and then. Even if you don't pray or anything, just fast for a while. It kind of cleanses your system. It's good for you. So there you go. But that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to do a diet. I'm asking you to do this. So you could do just water, or you could do just like one meal a day. Some people do that. They'll do like a Daniel fast, where you just eat celery all the time, or like vegetables. I've done that. I don't enjoy vegetables, so it's a good fast for me because I hate it. I'd rather do just water. So you could do like Americans do like these kind of fasts, like no video games. I didn't mean to point this way, but yeah, I guess maybe it was meant to be. No social media, no TV, or I don't know, no football for some of you guys. What? I know, you're getting personal. But really, biblically, a fast has to do with food. It's like no food. So you want to give up those things too? What I'm going to do is give up like probably like social media for a while. I'm going to give up exercise. No, just kidding. I'm going to just do the water. All right. So those are some different kinds of fasts. But I like what Jensen Franklin says. Have you ever heard of him? He's like the all-star faster preacher. He says, fasting is the difference maker. Fasting is the difference maker. It calls on the power, the protection, and the provision of God. That sounds like Pastor Ron there. It brings favor and plans to pass. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He called the fast, and one of his spiritual leaders, look at verse 15, said this. His name was, Jehaziel. He said this. Listen, king, I'll live here, blah, blah, blah. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. This was after the fast was called. One of the believers with him said this, for the battle is not yours, but God's. When you pray, when you do something where you kill your flesh, you start to see better. And he started to see better that even though the Minuites were after him, the Ammonites, the Perizzites, and the termites were after him. Ha, 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 laugh. Okay. He saw that it was not a battle against him, not against flesh and blood. It was a spiritual battle, and he saw that the battle was not his, but God's. Where do you need breakthrough? What areas do you need answers? What prayer requests are you contending for? Verse 17 says this. Jehaziel went on to say, you will not have to fight this battle. I want this to be the word for you, the word for me. I'm taking it for myself. You don't have to fight the battle. All you have to do is pray. All you have to do is fast. Take up your position in fasting, in prayer. Stand firm and watch God deliver you. That's what he says here. And then he goes on to say, stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. The Lord will be with you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Can I say this? One of the things that fasting does that this shows here at the beginning where it says, take up your positions. One of the best things fasting does for you, and really prayer will do this too. Really worship will do this too. But when you put them together, it's like a 1-2 punch. It will help position you. Because where your position is now, you're driving along, you're trying to navigate, and when you stop and you pray and you fast, you realize you were praying in this direction. Oh, Lord, I want to see the deliverance. I want to see this habit broken. I want to see this person healed. I want to see my marriage restored. I want this, you know what I'm saying? I want my finances better. You start fasting and praying, and you don't even realize it. If you close your eyes and you move, you don't even realize God's kind of steered you a different direction in your prayer. And you realize, oh, I was praying, but somehow God started to hear from heaven, and he focused my prayer. He positioned me better, and I started going a better direction in my prayer. Because what fasting and prayer doesn't do is says to God, God, get on board with what I'm saying. Get on my page. I'm going to manipulate you. I'm not going to even eat one chocolate bar this week. So I deserve you to answer. No. What it does is it doesn't change God's mind. It kind of changes your mind, your perspective, and gets you praying the right way. And then you realize your prayers have more power because your prayers are actually on the same page as God's actions. And he's like, this is what I'm doing. Pray with me. Okay. And you start to see what God's doing and you're on the same page. That's what it does. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden, life is much more clear. Make sense? Fasting cleared the fog for Jehoshaphat because this is what he did next in verse 21. Instead of what you would do in a war, he was the leader of the war. He didn't get the tanks set up, the war planes, the guns. He said this after consulting the people who were also talking to the Lord. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Can you imagine the Ammonites looking at them and you're like, you're coming at us with worship? We're going to put Veronica, and we're going to put Seth, and we're going to put Seth, and we're going to put Carol. We're going to put them all on the front lines, and you guys just worship, and we're going to see what happens. Because what happened was as they fasted, they were able to see God was telling them to pray a little differently and do things a little differently. And as they worshiped, they saw things change. As they began to worship, verse 22, sing and praise, the Lord set traps. The Lord set ambushes. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, all of the other places that were invading. And those people were defeated. That's the spiritual. That's the physical affecting the spiritual. That's what happens. Worship team, would you come forward? We're going to do some, I don't know if it's spiritual business or physical business. It's a little bit of both. But I encourage you to put set your emotions aside, even your emotions, your feelings, and get on the same page with God. When you decide to do something like, oh, I don't feel like fasting, I'm not going to do it, that's the best time. You're like, sure, say this right now. Yes. The best time to fast is when you don't feel like fasting, because the enemy has realized, oh, great, he's on to me. He's realized that his feelings aren't as important. I was trying to get him. And then he gets scared to death because you are saying, I'm denying my feelings. And that's when real action happens. That's when God starts to do something, when we're dying to ourselves. No, nobody wants to close your eyes at this point because you don't want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. But would you close your eyes just for a moment? And guys, play whatever song you want to do. Maybe it's that battle song. Lord, we come to you today, and we don't say, poor me. Oh, what do I got to do? We come to you and say, oh, I'm excited. Because it's not poor me when I come to you and pray. When I come to you and fast, I should say, all right, I am getting ready for victory. We position ourselves to be ready for victory. Now, in your mind, in the spirit, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. And you guys can go ahead and play, and we're going to get ready to sing. I ask you this question. What is God asking you to do in the physical that will affect your spiritual? What is he asking you to do in the physical that will affect your spiritual? You just listen. You might not even want to sing with these guys as they sing. You might just want to listen. But let this song minister to you. Let it be a kind of a challenge to you today.
See you. shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I cry, I'll fall on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
I don't really follow boxing that much at all, but I know one thing about boxing. I was talking to my friend this week, I think it was Jared Graham, and he doesn't just make good coffee, he has good words to say, and he was talking about how he heard someone say that when you're boxing, the way that Muhammad Ali beat somebody is not by avoiding the punches, but at some points going into the punch and letting them hit him, and then moving out of the way for another one where the person gave the same force and missed. And in the day we live, spiritually speaking, set aside everything else I said, and you just looking at the spiritual realm, if you get kind of in touch with it just for a bit, it's kind of a mess. Like the devil's fighting, the angels are fighting, and there's a lot of Christians that aren't doing their part to help the angels to do what they need to do. That's just like a very broad way of saying it. But there's a mess in our world, and it doesn't have to just do with this or that or something that's your opinion. Just the spiritual realm, the devil's winning in some people's lives. People are taking their lives. People are giving up, are giving into addictions. People are becoming godless. People are leaving the church in droves all across the world. Never before have we seen lower church attendance in the world than we do now. And they say maybe it's post-traumatic stress disorder from the pandemic is finally hitting now. And I met with the pastors of this town a couple of weeks ago, and they were all suffering from it. Not saying, oh, poor us, but saying it's time to lean in to the punch. Come on. What you got? What you got? Come on. Punch me. You think I can't handle your punch? You know what I'm saying? You think I can't handle it? Yeah, the devil's like, yeah, you can't handle it. It's because some people are a bunch of sissies, right? Some people are a bunch of, they got no grit. They let them hit them. They knock them down. They got no hope left for their life. And they say, I'll just stay down. You start counting, I'll stay down. I'm not getting up. That's where that's the state of the American Christian and the world Christian right now, is that we are so tired, beaten up, and it's time to get up and let them punch you and then punch back. And that's what fasting, that's what prayer, that's what it does. It does something to the enemy. And I encourage you over the next couple of weeks, really over this next week, to think of like two things that you want to see breakthrough in. Two things where you want to see health restored or relationship, whatever it is. Just a couple of things that you're going to believe for. Maybe it's direction. Maybe it's a change of job. Maybe it's a change of landscape. Don't move. If that God tells you that, come talk to me. I'll tell you, don't move. And then watch, because when you fast and pray, this is something we don't hear every day. You need to hear it. I've said it 10 times in different ways. But when you fast and pray, results happen. They happen. It may be right before. It might be right during your long 6-day fast. Maybe God's calling you to 40 days and all you can do is 6 days. Well, do 6 days. Maybe it'll be after. But I tell you, as John Lindell says this, he's the pastor of James River Assembly of God Church in Springfield. He's kicking butt out there, man, in the devil's realm. And he says this. Oh, now I forgot what he said. He said that it is a hunger strike against hell when we fast. He says you will see hell's defeat and heaven's victory when you fast. He says that where you thought that you were losing when you fast, you'll be winning. And I just encourage you with that. Let me close this. We read all the scripture here. I want to give you the ending of Jehoshaphat, verse 25. This is the reward of your fasting, okay? This, you're looking for reward, you'll see reward. This is his reward. Jehoshaphat didn't inquire of people. He fasted. He inquired of the Lord. And it says, Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder. Maybe no one named their kid after them, but they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and all kinds of articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. We don't fast, we don't pray so that we can get. But let me tell you, you will have so much reward that you won't even be able to collect it. You'll go into October, you'll go into the holiday season, you'll go into maybe even to next year and reap the rewards of this 6-day fast. It's called plunder, it's called reward for honoring your God, for dying to your flesh. Would you stand with me today? You're like, I'm so thankful the fast doesn't start today because I got this plan and this plan and this plan. Let me tell you, God's not legalistic. You got a plan for a dinner appointment on Thursday of next week, 3rd through the 8th during the fast, you do what you need to do. It's not legalistic. It's about your heart, right? Amen? Let me pray this prayer over us today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us. We ask you to lead us into this next time together, this next season. As we called it last year, it was worship. We're going into a war, a battle, and we're doing it with worship. And we say thank you that you will clear the fog, you will clear the hevel, you will clear the meaningless, and you will help us to attach on to what is permanent and eternal in our life. We take a moment right now, and we prepare ourselves and say, say this, I am ready for breakthrough. It kind of sounds really like Pentecostal, I know. But it works, it's true. What happens in the physical affects the spiritual. Say, I am ready for breakthrough. Say this, I am ready to connect to you in a powerful way. Okay, the other part of this is, I am ready to disconnect from the world. Because when you disconnect, you need to connect to something that will happen. And then the last thing this is this. Say this. I die to flesh. I set aside my bags. I set aside my priorities. And I fix my, you could probably tell what I'm going to say, my eyes on you, Jesus. Say that again. I fix my eyes on you. In Jesus' name. You guys can go ahead and sing some more.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.